All right, so tonight we're going to begin the middle section of Shmoneh Esrei. So start with tonight, mostly an introduction. And first, just to talk about what the transition between the first brachos, the first three brachos, and the middle brachos. So the transition between between Ata Kadosh and Ata Chonin, that the last of the first set is the bracha of Ata Kadosh, the bracha of Kedusha, and then the first bracha of the middle brachos is Ata Chonin, that's called the bracha of Da'as. So exactly what the juxtaposition of Kedusha and Chonin Hadas, what the significance of that, and then we'll give a little bit of a general introduction to the middle brachos as a whole, and hopefully talk about the significance of Ata Chonin being the lead off of the middle brachos. So the source for the Seder, the order of the brachos here, that Ata Chonin comes after Kedusha, is from a Gemara in Maseches Megillah in Yud Zayin Amud Beis 17b. So the Gemara there goes through a lot of the starting from basically Ata Chonin, goes through a number of the organizational points in the order of the brachos, largely based off of Psukim. And when we talk about all of the coming brachos, we'll try and understand each of those. But so the Gemara says, based on a pasuk, that Ata Chonin should come after Kedusha. Now, obviously, it says not a drasha gemura, not a full drasha, because Shmoneh Esrei is a rabbinical institute enactment. It's derabanan, so it's not full intent of the pasuk. But that in terms of the concept, why did Chazal see to in their model of Shmoneh Esrei to put Ata Chonin after Kedusha? So we see in the pasuk that Bina comes after Kedusha, that after sanctity, after holiness, comes the concept of understanding. The pasuk says, "Higdishu es kedosh Yaakov." Now the pasuk says that they sanctified the kedosh Yaakov, the sanctity of Yaakov. And then the next pasuk is, "Vayedu toei ruach bina," that and those who were wayward, those who were straying, and came to know bina. So the first is Higdishu es kedosh Yaakov, followed by the Yedu Toi Ruach Bina. So you see that Bina follows Kedusha. So exactly what's the idea? So just two thoughts about this. So the first point is that the first idea that once we have Kedusha in place, once we have as we discussed at length, the idea of Ata Kadosh, the idea of Kedusha, is that Hashem is beyond us, that Hashem is infinite, and that, you know, as much as we can, you know, Hashem is revealed to us, and we can try and have a basic beginning of understanding, but at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh, and He's beyond our understanding, and He's infinite, and we can't grasp HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only once we've appreciated Ata Kadosh, that Hashem is Kadosh, Hashem is beyond us, though then we can start with our own understanding. Then we can, once we have that firmly in place, now we can start to talk about what we do understand. But that all has to be prefaced, that all has to be predicated on step one, is that we understand that our grasp is not deciding what's correct. It's only giving a glimpse, it's only giving us some small glimpse of the whole picture, and then and only then, when we appreciate that, can we use our own bina, our own understanding, to try and appreciate. But the grounding has to be first that we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond us, and at the end of the day we can try to understand, but our understanding is not the whole story, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and that the total picture is beyond our understanding. We have a concept that we talk about the meaning of mitzvos, talk about the reasons behind the mitzvos. We talk about something called ta'ame mitzvos. The term ta'ame mitzvos means exactly that, means means a taste. The word ta'am means a taste. So ta'ame mitzvos means a taste of the mitzvos. It's not the cause or the justification of the mitzvah. It's just a way of appreciating it. The ta'am of something, the taste of something, is what gives it direction. It's how you enjoy or appreciate it. If food was bland, then people wouldn't want to eat. And, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a big chesed that he made food taste good, and therefore, you know, we have an appreciation for the food. We're interested in the food. We can, you know, we can desire the food and appreciate it because of the taste, that because it has a taste. But the taste doesn't give it the real value of what it is. The nutrients of the food, the mass, the content of the food, that's what fills you and what nourishes you. But the taste is just a way of enjoying it, of that you can get an appreciation of it. And in fact, what do we call food which is just taste? Junk, right? Junk food. Junk food is food that has no nutritional value. It's only there for the taste, and we call it, we identify it, that it's just taste. There's nothing real there. There's nothing to it. It's just junk. It's just the kind of the additional things that aren't really part of why you eat food. The idea of a ta'am, the idea of a taste, is something which gives something, it can, you know, you add different spices to kind of direct the way in which you relate and appreciate the food. But at the end of the day, that's not what makes the food what it is. That's not what gives the food its significance. The reason that you eat it at the end of the day, then that which stays with you, right? The taste of the food, you know, 10 minutes later, if you didn't eat anything else, is still, you know, pretty much gone. That which, you know, remains with you, that which energizes you, that which has a lasting impact on your ability to function and your ability to be healthy and survive, is the content of the food. The taste is just something which it's there in the moment to appreciate it while you're doing it.
But it also brings us back again and again to that item, which is important. In other words, we wouldn't come back to that.
Right, yeah, 100%. And that's all a part of being able to appreciate it. Right. The cantillation notes, what we call the trop, that's the tune marks in the laning of the Sefer Torah, or not in the Sefer, but in the laning of the Torah. So those are also called the ta'amim. Those are called ta'amei mikra. Those are called the ta'amim, the cantillation notes, that the marks that denote the different tunes that the words have. So those are also called ta'amim, and that's the same idea, that they give a certain direction to the way that the psukim are read. There's a certain, you know, metadata, a particular way in which the pasuk can be appreciated. But the ta'amim, they're just, you know, they dictate the way in which you read it, but the meaning of the words is the words themselves. The ta'amim just give a direction of how those words can be, how we read those words, how we hear those words. But the meaning of the words is not in the ta'amim. The ta'amim just gives it the tune. It gives it the way that we hear it. But the meaning of the words is by, you know, what the letters spell, what the word means, the definition of the word. That's the real meaning of the, that's the real content. And that's the same thing when we talk about that first we understand Ata Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh, and we mentioned the Gra says Shimcha Kadosh is referring to the Torah, because the Torah is the Shemos, the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we first understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately beyond us. And the Torah and the understanding, the meaning of the Torah, is ultimately in an absolute sense is beyond us. And after that, we can now recognizing that we can, that what we're talking about are just ta'amim. They are just appreciational points of the mitzvah. We're not defining what makes the mitzvah valuable, what makes the mitzvah significant. We're defining ways in which we can appreciate and we can gain from the mitzvah and we can interface with the mitzvah. Once we have that, so now we can have bina. Now we can talk about our own understanding and we can offer. But that at the end of the day, we'll know that no explanation that we give can ever affect the performance of the mitzvah, because we understand that we're only, you know, grasping at straws in terms of trying to appreciate what the mitzvah is about. We're working after the fact to figure out what about this can we learn from this, can we appreciate what gives this meaning to us. But the mitzvah is a mitzvah because the Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. And no matter what kind of reasoning and rationale you have for why the mitzvah should work this way, if the Torah says it doesn't work that way, so ata kadosh, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the most basic point is that we recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu is beyond our understanding, and his seichel is beyond our seichel, and therefore that which a Kadosh Baruch Hu says is the right thing to do, is the way the Torah should be and the mitzvah should be, is the first thing that has to be set in place. A second point, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, we'll talk in the end of the bracha, that chaninu meitcha dea bina v'haskel, what bina and dea and some of these different terms mean, and we'll talk more about this, but just to throw it out for now, I don't want to get too much into some of these concepts, but the other idea is that in a certain sense, da'as is a result of kedusha. The idea we mentioned of kedusha is the idea, we mentioned this idea of the synthesis of opposites, that when two things which really logically can't coexist are synthesized or fused into one concept, that's the idea of kedusha. We talked about it in terms of a number of different ideas, the idea of chesed and gvura, and we talked about the idea of bechira and yediyah, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu knowing everything and knowing, and his knowledge not just being, you know, foresight, but his knowledge being the cause and the root of existence, and somehow we still have our own autonomy, our own ability to make our own decisions. Not to get back into that, that's the idea of kedusha is these, when you have two opposites which cannot, there's really no way that the two can be true at once, that the two can coexist, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow in a way we can't understand fuses the two together. That's the idea of kedusha. And the idea of da'as really is a very similar idea. Chachma and Bina, and we'll talk about later how they are opposites, but Chachma and Bina are very much opposites. And the synthesis of Chachma and Bina is Da'as. And so the synthesis of the two opposites, that process of Kedusha, of bringing two opposites together, is that which produces Da'as. And just we'll put it in this perspective now, one of those pairs of opposites is the neshama and the guf. The Ramchal talks about that the neshama and the guf, the body and the soul, they're so diametrically opposite that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu put them together, that the neshama kind of naturally is repelled by the guf and wouldn't stay in the guf, would not stay in the body, if not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was gozer on it, decreed on it, so to speak, trapped it in the body. A Kadosh Baruch Hu made this combination of the body and the soul, of the neshama and the guf, is kind of bekufia, it's kind of against their nature, it's against, they're repelled by each other, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu puts them together, and then a Kadosh Baruch Hu goes there that the neshama has to stay in the guf, and that's how you have the existence of an adam. But the Ramchal discusses that there's, the neshama is not the source of your self-aware, that you being an adam, you being an individual, is not from your neshama. It's not from your guf. It's not from your body. Your body is not you. And your neshama is not you. Right? How do we know? Because what do you say every morning when you wake up? Right? You say two things we say every morning. We say, Moda ani lefanecha, shehecha zarta bi nishmasi, that you returned my neshama to me. So there's a me other than my neshama, right? My neshama is not me. And we say, Elokai neshama shanasata bi, the neshama that you put in me. So there's a me which encompasses my neshama, it includes my neshama, but my neshama is not me. What is your neshama? What is the you? The you is this impossible creation, the combination of the neshama and the guf together, when they come together, that creates an awareness, that creates an entity, that your concept of self-existence comes from that combination, from those two coming together. And that's what da'as is. Da'as means awareness. That somebody who had ein bo da'as means a person who doesn't have the maturity to be aware of what they're doing, what they're supposed to be doing. A katan can be very intelligent. A katan can have a katan who is, you know, can do math problems better than a lot of college graduates. But it's but at the end of the day, a katan still doesn't have das, because das is a certain self-awareness that you just don't have without a certain maturity in life experience. That's what das is, that awareness. And that awareness is the result of this process of kedusha. This combination of two opposites coming together forms a new entity, which is more than either of them on their own. And that yields da'as. That yields that the person is an individual, is an entity, which has its own awareness of itself. And that's the result. And therefore, after kedusha comes da'as. That's in terms of why the seder, the segue from the third bracha to the fourth bracha. So I wanted to give a broader introduction to the middle brachos as a unit. The middle brachos are, you know, the Chazal already refer to three groups of brachos. You have the Rishonos, the Amtsaos, and the Achronos. You have the Shevach, Bakasha, and Hodah. And the middle section is Bakasha. The Bakashos are, in a certain sense, the ikar of tefillah. The main part of tefillah is really the bakashos. And in fact, Rabbeinu Bachaye, the way he refers to it, is he refers to the bakashos as tefillah. He says that we have the 13 brachos of tefillah, and there's three brachos before and after them. So he really refers to the middle brachos. They really define what tefillah is. So why exactly is that? Why should the middle brachos, which, you know, If we were going to talk about avodas Hashem, serving Hashem, the middle brachos seem to be the least relevant to that. You know, the first brachos, we're talking about how great Hashem is, and the last brachos, we're thanking Hashem, and the middle brachos, we have a list of demands. So why is the avoda of tefillah more essentially defined by the middle brachos? So we discussed in the very beginning of this class, in one of our first shiurim, we discussed the idea of what the word tefillah means, and not to go back to the whole thing, but we took apart the word just grammatically, and we mentioned that the idea, the word tefillah, comes from the word pilel, which means to judge, and the conjugation of that word in lehispalel means to cause oneself to be judged. And that's the idea. The idea of tefillah is an act of self-judgment, of putting oneself under scrutiny, testing how seriously you take the things that you should value. And you are showing how much you view these things, which encompass all of the needs that people have. The Migdal David says that the reason these things were chosen is these are things which are universal needs. And these are the things, these cover all of the needs that people have. And at the extent to which I acknowledge that I depend on Hashem for these things, the amount that I acknowledge that these are coming from Hashem, that's the amount, that is the test of tefillah. The more that I take my tefillah seriously, the more that shows that I recognize that I do need a Kadosh Baruch Hu for these things. If I think that, you know, I'll get these things either way, so then my Shemona Esrei will be 12 seconds, because, you know, I don't really need to daven for these things. You know, I have this burden on my shoulders that three times a day I have to say Shemona Esrei. But if a person recognizes that I need a Kadosh Baruch for these things, then they'll take their tefillos very seriously. The Maharal says that the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, what was the point of the avoda of the Korbanos? The whole point of the avoda was to show that everything is Hashem's, that everything comes from Hashem, and therefore everything belongs to Hashem. And the same is true, tefillah was tefillah keneged korbanos, keneged tamidim tiknum, that the tefillos were established in correspondence to their korbanos, is the same idea, that tefillah is meant to demonstrate that everything belongs to Hashem, and that everything comes from Hashem. And therefore, it's for this reason, I believe, that even though the halacha is that Shmona Esrei requires you to say it, just thinking the words is not enough. Minchas 8:25. So thinking the words is not enough. It's not enough just to visualize, conceptualize it. You actually have to say it. The chiyuv of tefillah is it has to be spoken. Even so, tefillah is still called avoda shebelev. It's called an avoda which is in your heart. Why is it called an avoda in your heart if at the end of the day, the halacha, bottom line is, if you say all the words and you have some basic awareness that you're standing in front of Hashem, you're Yotze. If you think all of the words with intense kavana and intent and you don't say a single one, you're not Yotze. You have to daven again. So how does it, what does it justify, what does it pass to call it avodah shebelev? Because it's the that which you are testing, the mitzvah of tefillah, or the idea of tefillah, is it's the kavanas halev which is being tested. It's how much you invest in your tefillah. How much are you concentrating? How much are you taking it seriously? That's what shows how much you value it. And that's the real act of tefillah, the act of causing oneself to be judged, is you're showing how much do I really value this? How much do I really take this seriously? How much do I really invest in my tefillah? And in this vein, we can appreciate a comment of the Sefer Hasidim. The Sefer Hasidim writes that we start with the brachos of Da'as, Atachonin, and then the bracha of Tshuva, Hashivenu, and then the bracha of Slach Lanu, the bracha of asking for forgiveness. And then we go on to things that are more of our personal interest, things that are first our tzaros, and then refuah, our health, and then parnasa, our income, because we start with tzarchei shamayim, we start with our spiritual needs, and then we move into our more worldly needs, because our spiritual needs should come first. Why? What's the why should the spiritual needs come first? Because the whole idea of tefillah is to show our priorities, to show that we have the proper system of values and we acknowledge what's important in life. So of course we should put our spiritual necessities first, and therefore we start with the brachos, which are davening and recognizing that we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu for these higher level needs, and then we move on to the you know, things that are of our personal need. And then afterwards, we'll discuss eventually that then we move on to communal needs, things geula and malshinim and all of these things. That's the second half is the communal part. But the Kuzari also expresses a similar sentiment. The Kuzari writes that we start with the bracha of seichel and da'as, because it's through our seichel and our da'as that we come close to Hashem. So, you know, the whole idea of tefillah is this recognizing that we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the relationship that we have with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the step one of that relationship is that it is that we have da'as, that we have the ability to know a Kadosh Baruch Hu and to come close to him. Fine. Another point, and so as we move on to exactly why is Chonein Hadas, why is that the beginning of the middle section of Shmoneh Esrei? So Ata Chonein, or the middle section of Shmoneh Esrei, is the Iker of Shmoneh Esrei. So why is Ata Chonein the kickoff of that section of Shmoneh Esrei? So the Maharal in Nisiva Avoda discusses this, and he says, we've mentioned this idea before, that the Haschala, the beginning of something, always encompasses everything that follows. That there's always the koach, the potential of everything that follows is in the beginning. That's why in the mitzvah of Bikurim, you don't choose the best fruit, you choose the first fruit, and you give hodah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in that first pri, and that, you know, the because in the beginning carries with it everything that follows. And I think we mentioned this idea that the Vilna Gaon said that the whole Torah is encompassed in the word bracious. And the word bracious has in it the potential of the rest of the Torah. And he said everything else in Torah is merumas, is hinted to in the word bracious. And he had a Talmud who asked him, so Rebbe, where do we find petarechem, pidyon aben in bracious? So the Gaon said, that's the bracious is roshei tevos for ben rishon achar shloshim yom tifteh, that your first son after 30 days you should redeem. Right, so here the story is okay. He's lucky he asked him about pinyon aben, but you know, if he'd asked him about shatnez, then what about? But if the story would have been our shatnez, we'd say okay, he's lucky he didn't ask him about pinyon aben. So, this idea that the entirety of something is summed up, is encapsulated in its haskala, in its beginning. And similarly, says the Maharal, that all of the bakashos are really encompassed in the bakasha of Ata Chonin, in the request for das. Really encompasses and encapsulates everything else that we ask for. The Yerushalmi says that Rebbe Omer im ein dea tefila minayin. If you wouldn't have dea, if you wouldn't have intellect, so how could you wouldn't have the capacity to daven. If you wouldn't have a mind, you wouldn't have the ability to to think and to contemplate, so you wouldn't have the ability to daven. You can't relate to Hashem without das. The Archos Chaim says a similar idea. He says we start with Chonin Hadas because the Gemara in Brachos says that tefilos are keneged tmidim, that as we mentioned a few minutes ago, that the tefilos Shemon Esrei corresponds to the daily sacrifices, and a cheresh shote v'katan were which is the people who are the Mishnah's classic example of those who don't have da'as are invalid for the service of their korbanos, right? Why? The same idea, because one needs da'as for avodas Hashem. The primary focus of avoda, of both the avoda of the base of Mikdash and the avoda of tefillah, is a relationship with Hashem. And the primary focus of that is the bakashos, is that which we're recognizing that we need Hashem, that everything comes from Hashem. So therefore, we begin with the prerequisite for that relationship, which is das. And therefore, the lead off of the middle brachos, which are the ikar of Shemoneh Esrei, is the bracha of Ata Chonein, because everything else depends on that. You couldn't have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu without having das. The similar idea, the Migdal David writes that the most significant asset that Adam has, and that which is the Shleimus HaAdam stems from, is Das. The distinction between us and all other creations is this faculty. The Torah writes, Mosar Adam mina behema hu Adas, that which differentiates us from an animal is Das. And therefore we start with the bracha, with the bakasha for das, because we're emphasizing that's our most prized possession. That's the most significant thing we have. The Rambam and the Archos Chaim writes this. It's brought the Beis Yosef brings it down actually in Hilchos Purim. Writes that one of the worst avera that a person can do is to get drunk. Why? Because when you get drunk, you're ma'abed es haseichel. You are abolishing, you are denying your intellect, you are removing your seichel. And that's the most basic thing you have that makes you human, that gives you the ability to have such a thing as avodas Hashem, is your seichel. And for a person to get drunk and to basically chase away their seichel, says the Rambam, that you've made yourself into an animal. It's the worst thing that a person can do. Nonetheless, the Rambam still holds that the Rambam's Lashon by Purim is that a person should drink ad she'yir dom nafsho mitoch shechruso, that he should drink until he passes out from getting drunk. So Purim, there is whatever the special inyan is there, not our topic for tonight, but that the Rambam and the Archos Chaim, the Beis Yosef brings this from the Archos Chaim in Hilchos Purim, seemingly in the context of, you know, like, maybe you shouldn't get so drunk on Purim. That's the most basic important thing that a person has is their seichel, and there's nothing worse that you can do than getting drunk and losing your seichel.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei, we always remind Hashem of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and so on. When we talk about that, what I think of is Eitz Hadat, and that's a chet. Like, that was the wrong thing for us to do. Like, Hashem was keeping the dad away from us in a sense, told us not to eat. We did. We came closer to it. So why would we remind ourselves of that here?
Right.
It's so significant that everything else flows from it.
Right. So I'm going to answer it briefly because it would take us pretty far afield. But the answer is really more about what Eitz Hadas is. This is something that the Rambam and the Ramban both discuss. That what would it mean that did a Kadosh Baruch Hu want man to not have das? Was that like the chait of Eitz Hadas? Was the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted man to not have a seichel? So the Rambam writes this, the Ramban writes a similar idea, a different tack on it, but the Nefesh Chaim discusses this at length, that the problem with the Eitz Hadas was not that it's the next words, it's Eitz Hadas Tov Vara, that it's the tree of the knowledge of good and bad, which kind of begs the next question, like Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want them to know the difference between good and bad. So the Rambam writes this, but the Nefesh HaChaim really writes this very, very explicitly, that da'as, the idea of da'as, is a chibur. We always find that the relations between a man and his wife are called vayeda adam es chava, means they connected, right? And when two things connect, that's the idea of da'as. And eitz ha-da'as tov v'ra meant that originally, when Adam was created, Tov and Ra were two totally different things. There was no question of something being, the way the Rambam says it, is that what we call good and bad, Adam Rishon saw as correct and incorrect. Just like it would, if I told you 1 + 1 = 3, you wouldn't say, you know, that that's not so nice. And that's wrong. It's incorrect. It's just objectively incorrect. So for Adam Rishon, morality was the same thing. But when you from the eight tzedas, he mixed it together. Now all of a sudden, instead of emes v'sheker, you have tovara. The whole idea of morality. Of course, we understand there's a moral judgment. You have to make judgments about morality, and we understand that you could have a different opinion of me. And, you know, as much as I might think that a person is, you know, insensitive or whatever it is, but it's hard for me to say they're logically flawed in their conclusion. Now it's okay, there's two sides of an issue and we'll argue and we'll have our different opinions. And, you know, I can't really, you know, prove someone, and I can't even hold someone in, you know, in a lot of things, you know, you can't say, like, you know, that's, like, just so silly and whatever it is. So it became something where there's, you know, the room for different opinions. The hate of the Eitz HaDas was not the fact that it was Das, but it was the fact that it was an inappropriate mixture of Tov and Ra in such a way that there was now a confusion about it. The next question, which we're not going to talk about now, is if that's the case, so if before he ate from the Eitz HaDas, good and bad were objective truths, so how could he eat from the Eitz HaDas? Like, he knew. So that's a separate question. But we are talking about Das, the same kind of Das, and we'll talk about exactly, you know, where that fits in. But the Eitz HaDas was not bad because it was Das. It was bad because it was Das Tovara. Fine. What are we up to? 25. So we'll one more point, and I guess we'll leave off the last thing for next week. Okay, we'll see. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, in my poor note-taking didn't write down where I saw the Rabbeinu Yonah, but I'm just going to assume for now that it's in Pirkei Avos, although it's possible that it's in Gemara Brachos, that the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that ki biknoso hada'as, that when a person acquires das, yakir erko ba'olam, he will recognize his own value, his own place in the world. V'yeda shakol ta'avosav hagashmim kalim v'omrim. He will recognize that all of his physical taivas, all of his physical appetites and desires, are things which are kalim v'omrim, are things that are passing and that are temporal and temporary. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that there are two things which are the results of Da'as. One is you recognize your own place, your own value. It puts yourself into context. Where do you fit into the world? And B, it puts your needs into context. You'll recognize, you know, your taivas and your personal desires and interests. How do those fit in to my place in the world? The Gra, Rav Huttner, in his first mimer on Shabbos, has a lengthy explanation of this Gra. The Gra writes or explains that Da'as is what enables a person to evaluate their priorities, to assess what's primary and what is secondary. And the Gra writes that the creation of Adam was the creation of Da'as. When he created Adam, by creating Adam, that was the creation of Das, because Adam is the being that has the ability to recognize what's Iker and what's Tafel, what's important and what's less important. And we can use this as an introduction to the Bakashos and to put the Bakashos into perspective, that when you understand your own role in the world and you understand your mission and your needs for that mission, understand the transience of your worldly needs and their relative insignificance. So that's really an appropriate beginning, an appropriate context to put all of the things that we're asking for, to understand where do they fit in. I don't want to run right up to Mincha, so we'll pause here. I have more to say about that point. We'll pick up next week, but that the idea of Das is that which gives a person the ability to recognize what's chashuv and what's not, what's important and what's not, and where does he fit in, and where does everything that he's doing in the world fit in. All right, we'll pause here.